Many today are worried about the next generation. Will they follow Jesus? And where do we even begin to know how to pray for them? You're listening to the Great Stories podcast by Haven Today. I'm David Wolin, and in a moment, we'll meet up with two Christians. They have a foot in Gen Z and a foot in the tail end of the millennial generation, and they're going to help us answer these important questions and more. Blake Glosson and Cassie McDowell both serve in various ministry roles in their churches, and I'm so appreciative of their hearts for Jesus. And I think you're going to really enjoy getting to know them and hearing about the ways that we can all be praying for their generation. And we'll even learn a cool new expression from their generation that they're all using today, no cap. So you'll get what that means in just a moment if you don't already know. But just before we meet up with them, let me remind you about a book called Prayers of a Parent for Adult Children. It's by Kathleen Nielsen, and we have it here at Haven. It's 31 scripture-focused prayers with a topical guide to pray for all kinds of situations for the adult kids in your life. It's a little like having a prayer partner, even when you're alone, to help you pray more broadly across the vast waterfront of the issues adult children in your life are facing today. And this is our way at Haven of saying thank you to you for your gift of support to keep this ministry, this podcast, the daily radio program on many hundreds of stations all across North America and around the world. And this ministry happens because of friends like you who give. So just go to haventoday.org. And there you can make your gift of support to Haven and receive your copy of this book, Prayers of a Parent for Adult Children. The website, one more time, haventoday.org. And with that, let's dive in and meet our guests, Blake and Cassie. This is Haven Today. I'm David Wolin, and I've invited a couple of younger people into the studio today. Blake Glosson, Cassie McDowell, so good to have you here.
Thanks, David. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And this week, we're talking about praying for adult children. And when we think about the next generation of young adults, that's basically people your age and younger. You're both believers. You've been active in ministry for years. Blake, you're in full-time pastoral ministry. And Cassie, you've been active in ministry to young adults for a long time, and you're both well-spoken, well-read. So, you know, frankly, I've seen the fruits of your years pouring into your peers and younger, the Gen Zers. So let me just start by throwing this question to you. What would you want parents or grandparents or even a parental figure in the church, how would you want them praying for you in this stage of life that you're in right now?
I would be remiss not to begin by saying, pray that we would know and love and trust and obey Jesus. I think that's what we need more than anything else in the world. That's what I need more than anything else in the world. Beyond that, there is a Gen Z term called no cap.
Okay, you better start by interpreting that for us. There's a whole lot of terms that I and our listeners may not even know. So
that's what I'm here for.
Okay, so no cap means what?
It means no lie, or I'm not lying. So if you hear a Gen Z or a young adult throw that term around, like no cap, no cap, it means they're saying, I'm not lying. This is what I'm about to say. This is true stuff.
All right, no cap.
It's probably when Jesus said, very truly, I say to you.
Okay, this is a Gen Z equivalent.
That's right. That's
all right.
Right. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Let's hear it.
So I thought through three ways that we could use prayer. And so I thought of those letters CAP. The first thing that young adults could use prayer for is comparison. This is a huge struggle for young adults. And all three of these things, I think, are not created by the increase in social media and technology, but are exacerbated by it. So comparison, I think, is a really big thing. The young adult director at my current church had a funny little sentence that I think epitomizes this to one degree. She said, you can no longer just eat a sandwich. And what she meant by that is that if you're planning on going home tonight and eating a sandwich, you're probably going to hop on social media afterward and see someone who has made this gourmet, gluten-free, three-course Italian dish and wonder, how have I failed in life? Mm. You know, I'm sitting here looking at my bologna sandwich, and here's someone who has made this gourmet dinner. You can no longer just have a sandwich. But that statement applies to a variety of different areas in life. You can no longer just have a job. You know, if you're working as a barista at Starbucks, and then you hop on social media and you see someone who is an influencer with millions of followers, you wonder again, what have I done to fail in life?
Sure. So let me interject and ask this then, because it's not as though comparison is a new thing for the human soul. You know, to use a word from the previous generation, keeping up with the Joneses, you know, that there's something in us, just in the sinfulness of our own proclivities as human beings, to veer into that comparison game. But there's something different about this generation, isn't there?
Yeah, I think our scope is much larger. Like, it's not just the people next door or the students in your classroom or the people that you graduated with. Now it's all across the globe, and it's whatever you have access to on Instagram and Facebook that is on your feed. So you look at your job and you see someone doing it more creatively and better and who has followers and looks happier doing it.
Okay, so we're talking about social media here.
Yeah.
That's significant. So instead of your universe for comparison being the people that are around you that you see every day face to face, really now it's an algorithm connecting whatever niche thing it is that you're thinking about and connecting it with the millions of people who have something similar and sort of sorting it by best of the best. Like you said, with the bologna sandwich, is going to find the best one that's out there and show you why yours isn't enough. So how much do you think that has shaped the way that young adults think and live?
I think this has shaped young adults massively. I can even speak for myself to say how big of a temptation this is, particularly, again, with social media. If we are on our phones all throughout the day, and what we constantly see on our phones all throughout the day is the most successful YouTubers or the funniest TikTokers or the most articulate pastors or the most romantic couples, you know, the best cooks, whatever it is, if that's what we are seeing every single day, it can actually get to a point where we think that is normal. We think that is the standard by which we ought to be performing or living. And so I think it goes hand in hand with oftentimes time spent on our phones. If we are seeing those people more than we're seeing normal people, like people in our everyday lives, it can be extra tempting to compare ourselves to a standard that we will probably never live up to. And so we just constantly feel like failures.
And how has this kind of an influence shaped you?
I think when I want to post something, it's no longer about sharing my life, but presenting my life. And the Lord has protected me throughout, you know, the last 10 years, but it is a struggle.
Yeah.
And it can feel, especially with likes being numbers, if you don't get a high number, then it wasn't worth posting. It wasn't worth sharing. But again, I think that goes back to you're not sharing, you're presenting.
You're presenting.
Yeah.
Really, everything that you do is being assessed and graded in a digital popularity game. That must affect people deeply. So I'm curious, we've just done the C. What's A? No cap. What's A?
A is for anxiety.
Okay.
This, again, goes hand in hand with the rise in technology and social media. The crazy thing is that because of technology and because of social media, our world has gotten much smaller. And so every day you can hop on your phone and instantly see the world's worst atrocities, the worst things that are happening, the natural disasters, the horrendous things that are happening all across the world. And you can literally open up your eyes in the morning, grab your phone from, you know, your nightstand, and within seconds be seeing some of the worst things happening in the world. And my conviction is that our brains were not meant to handle that much trauma on a daily basis. And that can contribute significantly to anxiety. We're not just feeling the anxiety of our own lives, but now we're experiencing the anxiety of everything that's going on in the world. That, I think, is a very heavy burden that many young adults struggle to carry and struggle with what do I do? Because I also don't want to be ignorant of what's happening in the world. So I think that becomes a struggle for people too, is they want to be aware of what's going on. But oftentimes in our pursuit of awareness, we become overstimulated with difficult things that leads to anxiety and doesn't leave us in a better place. And also doesn't leave us in a place where we are able to actually contribute to help, because now we're just paralyzed with anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. Cassie, what are your perceptions on this category of anxiety?
Yeah, I agree. Like, the idea of caring for social injustice is, I think, something that Gen Z does really care with them, but often it bleeds over into areas that they can't physically care for. And so they have this burden, but have no way to actually carry it out. And so there's this tension of a burden of, I want to give my time and I want to give my money and my thoughts, and I can't really impact what's happening across the globe. And it's not that we shouldn't hear about it, but it's anxiety producing.
Yeah. All right. And then take us to P, and then we're going to have to find some hope.
P is for pressure to perform. And when I say pressure to perform, I don't mean a pressure to be successful. I actually mean a pressure to literally perform, to try to pretend like you are someone different or better than you actually are. Now, again, I think largely what contributes to this is the digital world that we are living in, and so many different profile pages where you are, as Cassie mentioned, presenting yourself and trying to live up to a certain expectation or perform and look like you're impressive in some way, shape, or form. Whatever industry you are in or whatever passion you have, there's this pressure to live up to this very, very high standard. And that can be a crushing pressure. And I think that's why actually a lot of young adults are obsessed with people who are authentic, because in an authentic person, they see someone who has escaped this trap of having to perform and trying to put on this certain image. And they think, how can I be like that person who is living an authentic life? I want to be like that. And there's also a unique pressure, I think, for young adults to express yourself, to find a way to express yourself.
Yeah.
I see this especially with the workforce or jobs, when you're looking for a job. Once again, I referenced this earlier. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but if you don't have a job that is uniquely expressing yourself to the world in a really powerful or unique way, then you need to find another job. That's the type of mentality that I think some young adults have. And so that's why they're on this endless search to find that perfect job that perfectly expresses them. And so there's a unique pressure to not just get a job, but to have a job that enables you to express your authentic, unique self to the world. But that's just a starting point to kind of communicate that idea.
And Cassie, I would want you to speak to this from a female perspective. This idea, we've talked about comparison, we've talked about anxiety, and this last category of pressure to perform. What does that look like for young women growing up and then entering into adulthood?
This gap of young adults from leaving college or leaving high school to getting married and having a family has just grown wider.
What do you mean by gap? Like the number of years it takes to get from one phase of life to that next one?
Yeah. So it used to be you could get married and have kids in your early 20s, and now the average is early 30s. And so there is a lack of a sense of belonging because of this gap growing wider. And I think a challenge to perform is this: where can I find a place that I belong? And I think the church has something to offer there, not only with creating a space, a ministry for young adults to find a place to belong, but also this intergenerational belonging and finding hope in long-term friendships that have loved you through many stages. I have found so much belonging in having spiritual parents and spiritual mm-hmm. grandparents and brothers and sisters. It's a family that transcends any type of hobby or job identity that you could have outside of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to end with this on this program. I know both of you well, and I know that you both have a strong walk with Jesus, and you're very grounded in his word. How does the gospel speak to these pressures, to bring the gospel with no cap, C-A-P?
Mm-hmm. I think our tendency when we're praying for someone whom we love is when we see them stuck in maybe an identity crisis, which often leads to these comparison traps and pressure to perform and all this, we can pray, Lord, help them not to get so caught up in their identity.
Mm-hmm.
What I would suggest would be a better prayer is no, that longing for identity is a great thing. Lord, help them to find that in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Or all of this technology, this rise in social media and technology, I think our tendency can be to pray, Lord, help them not to use social media. Instead of praying, help them not to use social media or help them not to use technology, pray, Lord, help them to use social media and technology in ways that lead them closer to Jesus. Give them a deeper, richer, more joyful, more trusting relationship with Jesus. Help them, Lord, use technology to accomplish those ends. What I was going to say is I can tell you from firsthand experience, I cannot tell you how many times that I have been sitting in my car or going for a walk, mm-hmm. listening to a spiritually nourishing podcast or the audio Bible or a Haven Ministry episode. Yeah. And I'm listening to it in my wireless AirPods as I'm walking. And I'm thinking, Lord, how amazing is this that mm-hmm. I am being spiritually nourished right now through technology? And I have literally thanked God for that. So there are opportunities. Audio Bibles, another great example, that our physical Bibles aren't able to just read to us, but an app can do that for you.
Mm. Amen. Amen. So, Cassie, I'm really wanting to hear from you. I would like to know, one, how you have seen already the way that the body of Christ can meet some of the deepest longings that this generation is facing. And the goal, by the way, for all of this conversation is to give some categories of understanding and maybe some prayer prompts for parents and grandparents who are very concerned for this generation. So how does the body of Christ meet this need?
Yeah, I think a lot about the young adult ministry that I was a part of in my 20s. It gave a place for people to go and belong. And the group of people that were there were often people that I would never interact with in other circumstances. We were different, but became friends. And there was a fostering of belonging among same age peers with different interests and passions. But it was fostered through a love of scripture and prayer and just conversation. So I think that has been so cool to see that people were craving connection and they could find it at church. And then I also think through having relationships with people outside of the same season of life, it really opens your eyes to different needs and different joys and kind of takes you out of this bubble of stress and anxiety it is going to be okay. They have made it through this, and they're showing me that they're living a beautiful life.
So there's a doubt in young adults today, and we're talking about 20s, maybe early 30s. There's that you described that yesterday as a big gap between coming out of your parents' home and then entering into what many would kind of look at and say, well, that's adult life.
Mm-hmm.
You got married, you have a job or a career, and you have kids, and you've kind of entered into that quintessential adulthood phase. But then this middle gap is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, spanning a decade or more and beyond. And so, Cassie, if one of the parents of one of those young people, and you both were on the older end of that spectrum and were very much leaders in this community. But if one of the parents of one of those that were in that young adult ministry and are part of this group that we're talking about, if they came to you and said, I'm so concerned about my daughter, about my son, and they speak highly of you, but I can't seem to connect with them, or I'm very concerned about this or that, how can I pray for them? Just broad strokes, how would you speak to a question like that?
Well, I think one way to pray for them is to just love Christ more. Mm. More than loving yourself, more than loving what other people think of you. But also thinking through the amount of opportunities that we have in this Gen Z generation. They have opportunities at their fingertips. So praying that they take opportunities to know Christ more and know others more, because there's so many opportunities to just isolate. Mm-hmm. But on the opposite end, is there so many opportunities to grow in your knowledge and know others more. Mm-hmm. So using those opportunities wisely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about you, Blake? How would you answer a question like that from a parent or a grandparent having trouble even understanding why this granddaughter or daughter was struggling with things that they never struggled with, and just confused and concerned, and even seeing them struggle with their faith, which so many have in this particular generation? How would you add to that to recommend they pray?
I would trace out what your son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter articulate as a value of theirs. So again, if they are trying to express themselves in some way, or trying to fit in some way, so pray that they would find a community in the church, and then that is where they learn how to express themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we saw in the young adult ministry that we were a part of for many years, is we saw people finding themselves through the church. So they found a gifting that they didn't realize that they had. Mm-hmm. in worship ministry, or they got their feet wet in preaching and teaching, and then they went into pastoral ministry. That's me. But there were others in that category as well. Or they learned to serve. They learned that they had a gift of hospitality there, and they loved it, and they found themselves in the church. Mm. They found themselves ultimately in Christ, but through the body of Christ. And so young adults are longing to find themselves, longing to express themselves. And let's not pray that would be taken away from them, and let's not try to suppress that in them, but let's pray that the Lord would redirect them to spaces where they can find themselves in a way that would lead to true life, the true life that Christ can offer.
Oh, that's great. So Cassie, as we close out our time together, let me toss this one final question to you. And thinking about the burden that parents and grandparents in particular are feeling as they see with a lot of apprehension this world that is now so different, and that the kinds of changes that have accelerated so fast, and it feels so concerning that these precious little ones are now entering into adulthood. How would you urge them to pray for these young adults now?
I think while you're seeking to understand the next generation, also rest in the fact that Jesus knows more fully their experience than you ever could. That Jesus walks with them through their experience and understands their emotion more than that young adult even understands their emotions. And take solace in the fact that Jesus walks with you too, and so he's going to equip you as you walk with that young adult.
One final question. We've often asked it here on Haven today, and this isn't the question I prepped you for, so we're just going to see. We're just going to see what you have to say for this. But Cassie, we'll start with you. What does Jesus mean to you?
He is life itself. When he says that he is eternal life, it is something that I can access now in every situation. So hardship, I search for Jesus and I find life. If there's joy and I search for Jesus, I find even more enjoyment. It's life itself. So Jesus to me is being alive with him.
Blake, same question. What does Jesus mean to you?
I have like 6 hours, right? I love John 16:33. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That's Jesus's promise to us, to young adults, to older adults, to children, to all of his people. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And that is a refuge I continually return to in the troubles in my life, is that I have a living, resurrected Savior who has overcome this world and who will one day return to make all things right and will walk with us even through every difficulty we face in this life. So similar to what Cassie said, I mean, Jesus is everything to me. Mm. He is life itself.
Mm. Amen. Well, Blake Glosson and Cassie McDowell, thank you so much for giving us your time today and for, I think, giving us some understanding, but also some hope that the Lord, who has called us to himself and every generation in history from one generation to another, he has a plan for Gen Z and for the young adults, and we need to pray with all our hearts. And Jesus is powerful enough to draw the ones you love to himself and to keep them. Thank you for being here on Haven today.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
Thank you so much for joining me today on this episode of Great Stories by Haven Today. And I want to give a special thanks to Blake Glosson and Cassie McDowell for sharing with us a glimpse of hope for what Christ is doing in the hearts of the next generation. And with that in mind, I also want to remind you about the book Prayers of a Parent for Adult Children. The first time I came across it, I just knew this was something I had to get into the hands of Haven listeners. And the number one prayer request we get here at Haven is for the adult children of our listeners. And so, of course, it caught my attention right away. And this is a book that helps you do exactly that, to faithfully keep praying for adult children. To receive your copy, just visit haventoday.org, and there you can see a sample chapter and get a sense of what these prayers written out look like and how you might use them in your own prayer life. And then, of course, you can make your gift there on haventoday.org, and we'll send you Prayers of a Parent for Adult Children. Our thank you for your support. For more conversations like the one you heard today, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoyed this episode, please help us get the word out. Leave a 5-star review. You can also go to haventoday.org and sign up for our weekly email and discover additional episodes posted there on the blog. And as always, thank you for joining me, David Wolin, once again on Great Stories by Haven Today.